All right, we'll say good morning, a good night. Let's begin. So first of all, a tremendous thank you. Make sure when he comes in, you give him a shkach to Saeed for preparing this breakfast every day of Chol HaMoed. This is all being done li'ilui nishmas, his father. Incredible, so it's incredible, beautiful way to enhance our Yom Tov daf. And so with that, let's begin. So today's daf is Chav Dalet 24. We are picking up Chav Gimel Amud Beis 23b, and we're actually picking up two lines up at the bottom. Sayyid, Yasha Koyach, thank you very much. Father's Neshama should have an aliyah. So let's just remember again, we're actually picking up Chav Gimel Amud Beis 23b, two lines up from the bottom. So remember again, we left off yesterday, the Gemara introduced us to Reb Shimon ben Elazar's statement, who said that you don't have to return clay on Puriyah. And remember again, the Gemara discussed what's clay on Puriyah. It's utensils where the owner, lo savatana ayin, the owner does not yet have, doesn't know the utensils well, therefore doesn't have proper visual recognition. So we were discussing the idea, what does it matter, visual recognition, not visual recognition, meaning iman of shach. If an item has a simen, you return it. If it doesn't have a simen, you don't return it. So what's the pshat klei on Puriyah? So remember again, the Gemara introduced us to the idea, which we actually saw last week, that for a Talmud Chacham has a little bit of a different halacha, that a Talmud Chacham, because he's vested with a heightened level of reliability and credibility, he is believed that if he goes ahead and identifies an item b'tvias ayin, just with visual recognition, that that is enough to allow us to return the item to him. So therefore, the Gemara says over here that Lamaisa, if he, it's clear on Puriyah, official, thank you very much, thank you. So if he has a clear on Puriyah, so if he has ultimately, again, visual recognition, then Lamaisa, again, I can move down a little bit. So if he knows the item, then by definition we can give it back to him with the TSI. It says the Gemara, "Da'am Rabbi Huda Mishmuel, because Rabbi Huda is named Mishmuel, Bahani Tlas Mili, Avdi Rabbanon Dimishana Bimilayu." Rabbi said, there are three things in which Rabbanim, well, Tamidi Chachamim, are permitted to go ahead and change from the truth. What are the three things in which they're permitted to change from the truth? B'mesachas. So Rashi points out here, b'mesachas, yesh b'yadcha mesachas ploni sedura b'girsa olav. So again, if somebody asks the Talmud Chacham, do you know this particular mesachta? So according to Rashi, Rashi says, afagav d'she sedura hilo yomar lo lav umidas anovehi. So Talmud Chacham is permitted to go ahead and change the truth. If somebody asks him, so do you know this mesachta? He's permitted to go ahead and say no. I don't know it well. And he's permitted to go ahead and say that, als anova, als humility. So it's just interesting. Tosfos points out over here, Tosfos v'im tomar, Tosfos d'rei maskal masachas, v'im tomar, v'ha amar v'shinamtom, shiu dvivrei torah mechudadim b'ficho, shimishaf ha'adam al tegam, geim v'tomar lo, ela emar lo miyad. But yet again, Tosfos says, from the phrase v'shinamtom, we learn that shehei dvivrei torah mechudadim b'ficho, that the words of Torah should be sharp on your mouth, that if somebody asks you a question, you should be able to answer. You're talking to a Talmud Chacham. So how does that stim with Rashi? V'yishlomar, t'hainu dafka ba'adam ha'balishol din ohora oli islamid. Aval hocha shebalin asoso im yodea muta l'shanas lomar lo l'maratizes. This is actually very interesting. So Tosfos says, what it means is like this. If somebody comes to ask a shayla, so Talmud Chacham should have the knowledge on his fingertips. He should be able to answer it. But if somebody's asking you just the kind of test, the general depth and breadth of your knowledge, that you are permitted to go ahead and deviate, and you are permitted to say you don't know something as a display of humility. That's number one. Next, Bipuria. Rashi says, now this is actually quite strange. Rashi says, Bipuria, Shimashta mitascha, Yomar lav midas niyasu. If somebody asks the Talmud Chacham, did you engage in Tashmishamita, in relations, so the Talmud Chacham is permitted to say no, even if he did. Why? Because it's al tznius. So Tosfos points out over here, what a strange question. Who in the world is asking about this? So Tosfos points out that, again, it's in Tosfos Bipuria, that if somebody asked, let's say a Talmud Chacham wasn't learning yesterday, but look at Tosfos. So Tosfos says, in regilus, shiyashalu keperish Rashi. It doesn't make sense that people are going to ask a Talmud Chacham, like Rashi, that did you engage in Tashmish Hamita? In Shimish Mitasu im Lav? Ela im Valkeri Haya, v'lo bala beis Hamedrash Shalua, lama lo ba, yishen av yomer shechol lahaya. Oh, I'll say what it means is, remember in the original Takanas Ezra, that you were not permitted to go ahead and learn Torah if a person was a Balkari, couldn't learn Torah until he went to the mikvah. Let's say Talmud Chacham didn't show up in Beis Medrash yesterday. So they asked him, what happened? Were you a Balkari or something? So Talmud Chacham is permitted to lie and to say, no, I wasn't feeling well. In other words, he doesn't have to be forthcoming with that truth. And next, top of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, Ubu Ushpiza. And I'll say the third area in which the Talmud Chacham is permitted to go ahead and deviate from the truth a bit is when it comes to lodging. Now, what does this mean? This is amazing. Look at Rashi. Uber Ushbiza. Sha'alua al Ushbizo in Kidlo Besever Parim Yafos. Va'amar Lav Midatovahi Kadesh Lo Yiktifu Yikfitsu B'nei Adam Shenem Hugan. Let's listen to this. Let's say I was hosted by someone, right? Talmud Chacham goes to a person's home, and somebody asks, Nu, how were the accommodations? How was the food? So you're permitted to say, it was okay. In other words, downplay it. Why? Out of the concern that if word gets out that a particular person is a great host, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? People are going to take advantage of that. Unscrupulous individuals will take advantage of that. Therefore, in order to avoid the host being taken advantage of in a negative way, the Talmud Chacham is permitted to go ahead and deviate from the truth just a bit. So we'll say these are the three areas in which a Talmud Chacham is permitted to go ahead and change from the truth. What we call Maseches, his learning. If somebody asks him, do you know this Masechta? He could say no. Puria, with matters of intimacy, he's permitted to go ahead and change the truth, and Ushpiza and lodging. So it says the Gemara top line of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, my nafkamino, who cares? I mean, what exactly the ramification of this halacha? Oh, Armazutra, la durile avidita betidias enam. The nafkamino Rabbi say is about returning an object to a Talmud Chacham with simple visual recognition. So if you know that a Talmud Chacham only deviates, only changes the truth in these three areas, that's indicative of the fact that what? That he is a trustworthy individual, and therefore, again, he is the type of person who is believed that you could return an item to him just based on visual recognition. But if you know that he's the kind of person that changes the truth in more than these three areas, then what? He's not considered to be reliable, and you would not be permitted to return an object in just based on visual recognition. Marzutra Chasida, Ignav Leikas de Chasba, Miushpizi. So we'll say, one time, Marzutra Chasida was a guest of someone, and when he was a guest of this person, a silver cup was stolen from the host. Chazi Lahu Bar Berav. So listen, this is wild. And from the corner of his eye, he saw there was another Talmud Chacham, another student in the yeshiva, who when he washed his hands, he dried his hands on the garment of his fellow. Right? He dried his hands on his fellow garment. So what happened? Amar, so Marzutra Chasida said, Hai nu hai, that's the thief. How did he get that? That's the thief. Dilo ichbas le amamona de chavre. Because this guy is clearly not careful with the property of his friends. We'll say somebody who's not careful with the property of his friends, that's a ganav. That's a ganav. So Marzutra Chasida said, that's the guy I'm telling you who stole the silver cup. Kafse, they tied him up. Va'odi, and he admitted to the crime. We'll say, by the way, just an incredible, incredible yisod. What's the point of this gemara? Point of this gemara is when you go ahead and you take liberties with somebody else's mammon, somebody else's money, you're a thief. That's a ganav. That's a ganav. That's an incredible yisod. That's why Yaakov has always been wondering to himself, why is it that they started my learning with Eilu Metzias, right? Why are they starting with Eilu Metzias? There are other masechtas I'd love to learn, and Amir Hashem, you will. Because what do we do with our children first thing? We sensitize them to the money of others. That's the whole yisod of Eilu Metzias. That's the whole yisod of this gemara, that we teach our children to be sensitive to the property of others. Because if you don't have a sensitivity to the property of others, if you take liberty to the property of others, we'll say that is a snowball effect. So those who go ahead and wipe their hands on their friend's garment ultimately, again, will come to steal the silver vessels of others. That's the progression of life. So Tanya, Modrib Shimer Elazar, Bekelim Chadash, Shesavatana Ayin Shechayiv Lahachnis. So we'll say, we have Bryce now that says, Tanya, Shimer Elazar says that new utensils, Shesavatana Ayin, remember we learned this yesterday, Savatana Ayin means a person has seen them for a while and therefore has visual recognition of these items, that you are obligated to announce them if you find them. So we'll say, so what are some examples of new utensils that we assume the owner is not really visually cognizant connected with? What are these type of utensils that we assume a person won't be able to really identify? Kegon, bade machtin, vitsinorios, umachruzos. So we'll say, we'll define this word badim in just a moment. But the badim of badim machtin are needles. Sinorios, Rashi says, are mazlegos ketanim shetavos ben zav. So spinning forks. Spinning forks that are used to spin golden thread. Umachruzos shel kardumos. And strings of axes, meaning the types of strings that you string up axes with. Call elu sha'amru, all of these items. Emasai mutarin. I will say, if you find, so again, these are all considered to be items that people are not called, not sabatana ayin. People don't really have visual recognition of. Therefore, if you lose it, the assumption is that the owner has been miyayish, and therefore the finder is permitted to keep it. But when is that so? Emasai mutarin. Bizman shematsan echad echad. This is only a part of Osai. If you found them one by one, abamatzon shnayim shnayim chay b'hakavis. Rabbi says, if you find them in groups of more than two, you are obligated to go announce them. Why? This goes back to yesterday's daf. Why? Because minyan havi simin. Because remember, the number of a particular item is also considered to be a simin. So Gemara says, my badim. By the way, what are badim? So Gemara says, well, the real etymological definition of badim are shochi, are branches. So Rabbi says, therefore, again, it turns out badim machtin are like the strings on which you string up the needles, or the strings in which you string up the forks, the spinning forks. So why do they call it badim? Vamai karlu badi, the davar hatetalu bemidi bad karlu. Because you will say something upon which something else hangs is called a branch. Just like the fruit hangs upon the branch, so too again the string upon which the needles hang is also called a branch. As we learned of the Rabosai, Allah echad bebad echad. Rabosai, this is amazing, by the way. This is a Gemara in Meseches Sukkah. What is it talking about? If you look at Rashi, Allah echad bebad echad b'Meseches Sukkah gabe arava. Rabosai, this is actually very lemaisa already by the second day Chol HaMoed. So what happens? You have an arava shenashru miktsas alah. That's already arava. So we'll see. No, the first to wilt. So the leaves begin falling off. So again, the first opinion says, as long as there are three moist leaves left on the stalk is kosher. Others say, no, even one leaf on one branch is enough. So we'll say, you see, this lashon of bad is a lashon of a branch. Listen to this case. I say something, a lion is about to go ahead and take something. I steal it away from the lion or from the bear. Or I will say, a namar is a leopard. Bardalus is a hyena. Min zutoshem. Zutoshem, I will say, is the tide of the river. Umishliluso shalnar, or the surge, or I should say, tide of the ocean. Shaliso shalnar is the surge of the river. Hamotzeb, or similarly, I will say, so these are all examples when I see, generally, if I see a lion taking my item, I will say, general conventional wisdom is? I'm a vater, right? I'm a vater. It's okay, you know what, lion? I want you to have that, right? So the general assumption is this yeush. So if I go ahead, so I see Ruben's item being taken from the lion, and I go adamantly to save it, that's mine. I could keep that. Similarly, when the owner sees something being swept away by the ocean or by the surge in the river, a person is miyayish. Similarly, hamotzi bisratcho platcha gidola. If you find someone say, so stracha and platcha are Rishuyos HaRabim. These are public domain. Literally translated, stracha is a thoroughfare, and platcha is a public square. U'b'chol makom sha'rabim mitzuyin sham. Rabbi say, for that matter, any place where what? Where you find throngs of people, where you have the rabbim, hare elu shalo. Rabbi say, in all of these cases, when you find something in one of these public places, the halacha is, you, the finder, get to keep the item. Why? I'm sorry?
In front of the owner?
This is not. Well, this could even be in front of the owner. Correct. No, the owner could be gone. Meaning, the owner has to know about it, but lav dafka, the owner is there when I'm getting it back. Meaning, the owner could go ahead and see that his item is being taken from a lion, he leaves, I'm there, I take it back. The owner has to know about it. Correct. The owner has to have known about it at the time the item became yeyosh. That is correct. So the Gemara says, why? Because we're saying all of these cases, the Bailim, the owners, have Yeush. Therefore, when I find it, I am permitted to take it. So let's analyze this. Now, we're purposely focusing on over here, on Sratya and Platya. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar says that if I lose my item in a public thoroughfare, right, the Sratya or a Platya, or any place where the rabbin is Mitsuyin, the owner is Misyaish, and I, the finder, am permitted to go ahead and keep it. Now, the Gemara asks on that. Kikam Shimon Elazar, Berov Kinanin, they both say, what's the case over there? Is that talking about a place where the majority of people are not Jewish? But perhaps, again, if the majority of people are Jews, the owner is not Misyaish, because also the owner figures that what? That if the majority of people are Jews, then what? Right? Kal Yisrael Tzadikim. So if a Jew is going to find it, they're gonna go to Mimachar, they're gonna go ahead and announce it, and I'm gonna get my object back. Or maybe not. Maybe the halacha is that even if the majority of people in the city are Yisraelim, if it's a public thoroughfare, the assumption is what? That the owner is Misyaish. So the Gemara says, Intim Salamar Filo Barov Yisrael. Furthermore, if even the Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, even if it's a Rav Yisrael, so the Gemara says, Afilo Barov Yisrael Nami, Amar Pligi Rabbanon Ale, Olo Pligi, to the Rabbanon, are you on Rabbi Shimon Elazar or not? So the Gemara says, and if you want to say that the Rabbanon argue on Rabbi Shimon Elazar with Rav Yisrael, Vadai Pligi, Berov Kinanin Pligi, Olo Pligi. So we'll say, if you want to say they argue in the case of Rav Yisrael, do they argue in a case where the population is Rav Kinani or not? And if you want to say the Rabbanon argue Rav Shimon Elazar even in the case of Rav Kinanim, halacha kimoso, in halacha kimoso, does the halacha of Rav Shimon Elazar or not? And if you want to say the halacha of Rav Shimon Elazar, whenever you lose an object in Rosh Hashanah, the object always becomes Yeush. So is that Dafka Barov Kinanim or Afilu Barov Yisra? Does the halacha follow Rav Shimon Elazar only in the case of Rav Kinanim? Is it only become Yeush in Rav Kinanim? Or is it Yeush even in Rav Yisra? So we'll say these are all the kashas. So Tashma, so let's analyze this. Hamotzi Moshe Batei Kinesios, we'll say first wide line, Ubatei Midrashos, Ubechol Mokom Sharab Mitzvah. So we'll say, remember again, we had this case on the first day of Yom Tov. First day of Yom Tov. So what happens? I find money in Shul. Well, we're assuming Batei Kinesios, Ubatei Midrashos, Ubechol Mokom Sharab Mitzvah Sham, Hari Elu Shalom. So we'll say, so what does the Braisa say? The Braisa says, if you find money in a Shul, or you find money in a base manager, we'll say, what is that halacha? What is that halacha? You, the finder, are permitted to keep it. Why? Because the assumption is that the owner has yeush. Then I both say, now understand. Man shamis de azal basaruba. Now remember again, let's assume for a moment, the majority of people in the base manager in the shul are who?
Jewish.
Are Jewish, right? That's a safe assumption. So both say, now what do you see? You see that even when the majority population are Jewish, the owner still gives up hope of retrieving the item, has Yeush, and therefore the person who finds it is permitted to keep it. So man shamas the azal basaruba, who's going to tell us that we go after the Rabbi Shimon Elazar? Shamas mina afilu berov Yisrael nami. Oh, so both say, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, you see, is saying that what? That even in a situation where you have Rov Yisrael, the majority of Jewish people, we still assume that if the object is lost in a public place, the owner is Misyaish, the owner gives up hope of retrieving the item, and therefore the finder is permitted to keep it. No. To which the Gemara says, what's the case over here? Oh, Rabbi say, what's the case? The case is where the money is scattered. Now, Rabbi say, everyone agrees, even the Rabbanon will agree, that with scattered money, there's no simon, right? There's no simon, because at least if the money is piled, so remember, the placement of the coins, we'll see this later on, the placements could be a simon. What else could be a simon? Number could be a simon. You could be a simon. If they're scattered, there's absolutely no simon. Even the Rabbanon would agree in that case. To which the Gemara says, my area, Makom Sharab Mesuyin Sham, Afidin in our Mesuyin Sham. We'll say, if the money is scattered money, even in Rosh Hashayachid, it ultimately becomes the property of the finder. You don't even have to set this up as a case of Rosh Hashanah, Ela li olam bitzurun. Rather, no, you have to say the case is where the money was bundled, right? The money was together. V'acham askin, and what's the case? Oh, b'batei kinesio shel kinanim. I will say, but Beis HaKnesses, we translated as shul, but Beis HaKnesses means a gathering place. Gathering place. We're not talking about a Jewish shul, rather we're talking about, again, a Gentile gathering place. Bate midrashos Michael Mimer. So that's fine for Beis HaKnesses. What are you going to say about a Beis HaMedrash? Right? Rav said, right? Beis HaMedrash only means one thing. Beis HaMedrash. Right? There's no way, there's no Gentile explanation for Beis HaMedrash. For Beis, right? So the Gemara says, Michael Mimer. Bate midrashos didon diyasvi behu kinanim. Oh, so what we're talking about again. You're right. Our Beis HaMedrash, it's a Jewish Beis HaMedrash, but the Yasevi Kinarabos, so listen to this, that had Gentile guards. Right? Shamus, or no, security. Security, Rashi points out, the Yasevi Kinarim, Shehin Chutz Lo'ir, Umoshivin Ba Kinarim Lishmar. Both the shuls were in far out places, and therefore what? They had Gentile security. That's the case over here. Hashta da Ases Lahachi. So as another way of explaining it this way, Nami Didon, so therefore you can explain Beis HaKnesses is talking about the same case. It's our shul with Gentile security. So Tashma, Matzah Ba'aveda, so we'll say if you find an Aveda, Im Rov Yisrael Chayev L'Hachriz, if, so we're assuming now that you have found, you're finding the Aveda in the city. So what do you have to do? If the majority of the population are Jews, you are obligated to announce your find. In Rav Kinanim, if the majority of the population are Gentiles, Eino Chayev L'Hachriz, you are not obligated to announce your find. Man Shanislei Da'amra Azlinan Baseruba. So I'll say, who is the opinion who says that we go after the majority of the population? Reb Shimon Elazar. It's Reb Shimon Elazar. Shamis Mino. Kikam Reb Shimon Elazar Berov Kinanim. So what do you see from here? You see that Reb Shimon Elazar says that you go after the majority of the population. That's dafka. If the majority of the population are Gentile, that's when you are permitted to keep the item that you lost in a public thoroughfare. But if the majority of the population are Jewish, according to Reb Shimon Elazar, you would have to announce and return the object. To which the Gemara says, "Mani Rabbanini Tifshot Mine Demodli Rabban Reb Shimon Elazar Berov Kinanim." Rabbi will say, "What do you see from here? You see from here that in a case of Rov Kinanim, a majority of Gentiles, the Rabbanon do agree with Reb Shimon Elazar that the finder would be permitted to keep the object." El the Olam Shimon Elazar. Rather, you have to say no. The Brisa reflects you, or the Mishnah reflects you, Reb Shimon Elazar. Bafilu Berov Yisrael Nami. And the truth is, Rabbi will say, according to Reb Shimon Elazar, even if the majority of the population are Jews, the finder is still permitted to keep the object. Why? Because the automatic assumption of Osai is what? When you lose an object in a public place, whether majority Jew, majority non-Jewish, Kohen Shimon Elazar, the owner is what? The owner is Misyayish. Eliyahu Shimon Elazar, Yivafil Rov Yisrael Nami. V'acham Ha'askinon, what's the case? B'tamun. Osai, the case over here, Rashi says, B'tamun, Techevan B'tamno Lav Avedahi, Hilchach Rav Yisrael Yachriz. The case of Yerabosai is where the object was hidden. The object was hidden. Therefore, if the object is hidden, if it's in a place where the majority of the population are Jewish, the finder is obligated to announce his find. To which the Gemara says, one second, I bitamun ma'a b'tegave. Yerabosai, now the klal gadol is, if the object was hidden, then you, the finder, what? Should not be touching it. Right? Don't touch it. In other words, we'll say if something is hidden, it means somebody intentionally placed it there. Somebody intentionally placed it. We'll say, you know, it's like going over to someone and saying, oh, I just found your wallet in your pocket. You know, yeah, well, you know, I liked it before on the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. We'll say, what do you mean? Anytime something is clearly placed somewhere, that means the owner does not want someone else touching it. If it was Taman, then why are you touching it? To which the words of Vahatanan, Kli ba'ashba mechusa lo yigavo. We'll say, if you find the kli, a utensil in the garbage dump, but the utensil was purposely hidden, don't touch it. If it was megula, if it was revealed, then you are permitted to take it and announce it. Why? Because the Mishnah said, then we assume it was lost. So what's the case? Ba'ashba shenasu yili parah. So listen to this. I come across an item that was hidden in a garbage dump that was not normally emptied. Rashi says, "Shleina suy lipanos regilim hayu baylim lahanicha yamim rabim velo lithno simat." So both say they were often garbage dumps. See, people had different. People had private dumps. So if I had a private garbage dump, it was often I didn't empty that out often. So what happens? I come across a utensil in Ruvain's private garbage dump. The utensil was hidden. And it was clear, again, that it was hidden intentionally. Reuven doesn't normally empty out his garbage, so that's fine. But what happened? B'nimloch alea lifnosa. Hachnai ba'ashva shenesu lifanos. Oh, but also the case over here is, The object was intentionally hidden in Reuven's garbage dump, but hidden with the idea that what? Reuven doesn't normally empty out his garbage dump. It just happens to be that what? Reuven today is emptying out his garbage dump. So what happens? That object now becomes an aveda. Because in 2 minutes from now, Reuven's about to empty out the dump. So now, again, even though the object was intentionally hidden, the halacha is that now I have to take that object and ultimately, again, announce it's fine. V'baisim, I'll say amadeis. Amadeis, v'baisim. I'll say the other possibility is v'baisim. The Olam Rabbanon. The other possibility is, whose opinion does this really reflect? If the Rabbanon, Mikatani Hein Shalo, does it say that the object is his? Eino Chayv Lahachri is Katan. It just says he's not obligated to announce it. V'aniach V'yese Yisrael V'yoev Lo Simna V'shakil. Rather, I will say what it means is, I have to hold on to the object. A Yisrael could come and let him give his simen and take it. I will say, this is actually getting into a different sugya, which we will discuss, which has to do with, there are times where I am obligated to hold onto an object, but lav dafka I'm obligated to announce its find. Rather, it's the kind of thing where I'm going to hold onto it until what? Until someone else claims it. So we'll get into those nuanced discussions. Tashma, we'll say another braisa. The Amar of Asi, Matzachavis Yain Be'ir, Sheruba Kinadir. We'll say, listen to this case. I find a barrel of wine. This is a really great case. Leon, this is a great case. This is a great case. You'll catch the rest of it later on.
How long is the case?
About 10 minutes. All right, good. So, yes, it says the Gemara. Good. I'm so Baruch Hashem. You get to Olam Haba. It's a great case. So, Matzachav is... I'll give you a note to work. A shul stationery. So, listen to this. Matzachav is Yain V'Yer. So, listen to this. You find a barrel of wine in the city, Sheruba Kinanim. They will say the majority of the people in the city are Kenanim, are Gentiles. Muteres mishum mitzia vasura banar. This is why this is a great case. This is a great case why the majority of the inhabitants are Gentiles. So what happens? So we'll say alts mitzia. What's the halacha? Alts mitzia. Now again, we've never said this explicitly, but the mitzvah shavas aveda is a mitzvah to Jews. It's not a mitzvah shavas aveda by non-Jews. So if I live in a city where the majority of the population are Gentiles, what happens? I find a barrel of wine. Now, we'll say, we're assuming, by the way, a barrel of wine. So what's the halacha? I could keep it out mitzia. What's the problem, though? Right? I can't drink it. So here's the interesting part. I can keep it because it's no mitzvah shavas aveda, but I can't keep it because the chazoka is, the rov is nachrim. The rov is nachrim. It's, yayin esach, but it's what's called stam yenom, wine that belongs to a Gentile. So he says, muteris mishum mitzia, Vasura Bahano. I can't drink it. Boy Yisrael, but watch this, this is where it gets great. Boy Yisrael Banasa Basimin. If Yisrael now shows up and says, hey, that's my wine, so what's Talacha? Muteres Bishtia Lemotza. We'll say, watch this, I don't have to give it back. Right? I can now drink it, I can now drink it, I don't have to give it back. Now we'll say, why? Because remember again, this is exactly what we said before. Kiman, Kirb Shemin Alozer. Now we'll say, why does this work? Because remember, what's the nature of the city? It's Rov Nachrim. It's Rov Nachrim. It's a majority of Gentiles, which means if I live in a city with a majority of Gentiles, when I lose an object, we assume what? I'm the Siyaish, because the statistical probability is who's going to find it? A non-Jew, and they're not going to give it back to me. Therefore, anytime I find something, I'm the Siyaish. Therefore, again, when I find the barrel of wine, I assume that it's the barrel of wine of a Gentile, so I can keep it, but I can't drink it. When a Jew shows up and tells me, hey, that's my wine, shkoyach, now what? I could drink it, and I still don't have to return it. Why? I'm sorry? He is Misyayish. No, because remember, when he first lost it, he assumes that what? He's not getting it back. Why? Because it's a city of majority of the Kohavim. So when he loses it, he is Misyayish. The fact now that he finds it, and he found that another Yid went ahead and found it, he identifies it, that's very nice. But at the moment that he lost it, we assume he was Misyayish. Therefore, now the finder can not only keep it, but what? He can also drink it. Good. Good. All right. So now, right? That's it. So now, that's the end of the great case. The rest is just regular. So now, says the Gemara, Shmamina. So we'll say, what do you see? You see Rav Shimon Elazar. So Shmamina, Now we'll say, again, this is a great case. Now you see over there, Rav Shimon Elazar only holds of his shita in the case of Rov Kinan, the majority of Gentiles. Rov Yisrael lo. They will say, this case obviously doesn't work in the case of Rov Yisrael. Because remember, again, what would happen in the case of Rov Yisrael? If I lose my abjad in the case of Rov Yisrael, I'm not Messiah-ish. Therefore, again, when the Jew finds it, not only can he not, well, not, he obviously can't keep it, or nor can he drink it. To which the Gemara says, lo, the Olam, Eim Lecha, Rav Shimon Elazar, Afi Lebarov Yisrael, not any comer. No. Rav Shimon Elazar will say, again, I will say, understand. We're just trying to clarify one sheet. Rav Shimon Elazar is the one who said that whenever you go ahead and you lose something in a public domain, the finder is always permitted to keep it. We are just trying to figure out the scope of that statement. Did Rav Shimon Elazar say that only in a case of Rov Nachrim or even in a case of Rov Yisrael? That's the fundamental shiloh we're just trying to figure out. So we just found the proof that Rav Shimon Elazar only holds the Shita in a case of Rav Kinanim. But with Rav Yisrael, you would be obligated to announce it and return it. To which the Gemara says, Lo, the Olam Eim Olacha, Rav Shimon Elazar, Afilu Rav Yisrael, Nami Kamer. No, it's not true. Rav Shimon Elazar holds that even what? Even in the case of Rav Yisrael, you have to go ahead, you would be able to keep the object. So, Rav Asi, Savarle Kavasi Bechada, Upalig Ali Bechada. But rather, Masi Rav Asi holds like Rav Shimon Elazar in one case and disagrees with him in another. How so? Bechimi Achar Dasi Rabana Muteres Mishumetzir Lamai Hilchasa. So, Moshe, let's go back for just a moment. In a case where ultimately, again, I'm living in a city where Rov Nachrim, and therefore I find a barrel of wine, and I assume that what? I assume that it's wine of a non-Jew. So Shkoyach, that I could go ahead and I could keep the Metzia, but I can't use it. So what good is keeping the Metziah if I can't use the wine? What's the halacha? I will say, Amar Rav Ashi l'kan kana. You know why it matters? The barrel. In Achinami, I can't use the wine, but I absolutely can get benefits from the cask. No, this is not a riot, a sherry cask. No, this is not a riot. Right, so I can go ahead and keep the barrel. So Moshe is asking about selling the wine, so this will get into a discussion about getting Hana'a from Stam Yenom, from wine belonging to a Gentile. We'll discuss that. Aser Ba'Hana'a, right. So the Gemara is clearly going with the assumption over here that you cannot get any benefits from the wine, not just drinking Hana'a, but even regular Hana'a. But you can go ahead and keep the barrel. Fine. Selu Gavra. So we'll say, so again, understand, this is still the fundamental machlokes with Rav Shimon Elazar. When Rav Shimon Elazar says that if he finds something in Rosh Hashanah Abim, ultimately, again, is that only a case of Rov Yisrael? Let's go back. I will say, everybody agrees that if you live in a city of Rov Nachrim and somebody loses something in Rosh Hashanah Abim, then what? The owner is Messiah-ish. Because again, so Gentiles have absolutely no obligation on Hashav Saveid. Hashav Saveid is not one of the seven Noahide laws. So if you lose an object in a public domain in a city where the majority of people are Nachrim, the owner is Messiah-ish. Right? That we know for sure. The owner is Messiah-ish. And therefore, even if you are a Jew who finds that, there is no mitzvah Hashav Saveid. The Shaila is, what happens if you live in a city where the majority of people are Yehudim, are Jews? So is there an obligation under those circumstances to return the object or not? That's in Machlokis in the Shita of Rav Shimon Elazar. Says the Gemara, Hu Gavra, the Ashkach Arba Zuzi, the Tzairi Bisadino, Bishadu Benar Biron. So listen to this. There was a man, who found four Zuzim, four coins, that were wrapped up in a piece of cloth, and were thrown into the Biron River. So he finds them. So Asla Kamed Rav Yehuda, so he came before Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Lei Zil Achris. Rabbi Yehuda said, "You have to announce the find. You have to announce it." I said, "Ask the Gemara why." Vazuto Shalyamu. So we'll say, "Is this not? We had this case explicitly. This is the case Zuto Shalyam. That if something is thrown into the river, what's the halacha? The owner is automatically misyayish. So why does the finder here have to announce it? No. Shiny Nahar Biron. So the Biron River is a bit different. Why? Kevan de Miskal Lo Miyayish. Because we'll say apparently." Miskal means there are a lot of obstacles in the river. Rashi says, Yishba machsholim avanu mistir. So what happens is, when do we say that if something falls into a river, the owner is automatically misyayish? That's like with a free-flowing river. Apparently, the Biran River has a lot of obstacles in it. What happens if there are obstacles? I don't know if obstacles is the right word. But you understand, we'll call it obstacles. So what happens? When the water flows, so it's quite possible that objects get lodged on the obstacle. Therefore, an owner is not misyayish. But one second, in the vicinity of the Biran River, the majority of people are Gentiles. So right, so ultimately again, why would the owner not be Misyaish? Shmamina ain't alacha k'rav Shimon Elazar. Afi the Rav Kinnan, we'll say it must be that what? The alacha does not follow Rav Shimon Elazar. In other words, even in a case of Rav Kinnanim, to which the Gemara says, no. Shiny Narbiran, the Narbiran is different. Why? The Yisrael Sachrulei, the Yisrael Karulei. Because it will say, ultimately, again, apparently, Jews controlled the Biran River. Sachrulei, ultimately, again, the Jews are the ones, ultimately, who dam up the river, and the Jews are the ones who dredge the river. So because Jews essentially control the Biran River, along with the media and the banks and everything else. Right? So because they control the Biran River, therefore again, when I'm a Jew and I lose something in the Biran River, I am not Misyaish. I do not give up hope of retrieving it, because I know Jews are in the river. So the Gemara says, Kevan di Yisrael Sachulei, Emer mi Yisrael Nafal. So we'll say, since Jews are the ones that are generally involved with damming the river, they're the ones in the river, therefore if Jews find a lost object in the river, they automatically assume it's from a fellow Jew. The Chevan di Yisrael Karulei, and since it's Jews who dredge the river, therefore what? I assume that a Jew is going to find it. So both sides, the assumption is a Jew lost it, the assumption is a Jew found it, and therefore the Jew whose coins fall into the Biran River, therefore what? Is not Misyaish. Rabbi Huda, Havashaka V'Azi B'Asrei D'Mashol B'Shuka, Debe Daisa. So also listen to this. Rabbi Huda was walking behind Mar Shmuel in the Shuk. It will say Beit Daisa literally means cereals. Really means porridge. He was walking in a porridge market. So what's the porridge market? So the porridge market is where they sold all of the different ingredients for porridge. Okay. Amalei. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Huda says to Shmuel, Matzakan Arniki Mau. What happens if somebody were to find a wallet in a place like this, in a shuk like this? In other words, what's the status of this place? Amalei. Hare Elu Shalom. The halacha would be if you find a wallet in a place like this, like in the shuk daisi in the cereal market, then lemaisa again, that's considered to be losing something or shesarabim, and you'd be permitted to keep it. So listen to this. So what happens if after you found the wallet, Yisrael came along and gave a simon identifying this wallet as his? Amar lei chayiv lahachzir. In that case, the person who found it would be obligated to return the wallet. One second. Tarti Amar lei. These are contradictory. Right? We'll say, again, you just told me, Shmuel, that's what? That if I find it, I could keep it. If I find it, I could keep it. That means what? That the owner was Misyaish, which means that even if after the fact the owner comes along and gives me a simon, I should still say, it's mine, right? I find, so remember, again, just because someone comes and gives a simon does not mean they weren't Misyaish. If something is lost in a shirab, the automatic assumption is the owner is Misyaish. If the cereal market is considered, cereal shuk is considered to be a Rosh Sarabim, then the owner is Misyaish, which means that when I find that I can keep it, which means that even if the owner subsequently comes and says, hey, that's my item, I am still permitted to keep it. To which the Gemara Shmuel said, you're right. Lifnim Mishra Sadar. I'm both saying that this is amazing. Shmuel said, you're right. According to the technical letter of the law, you do not have to give the item back. But if I know that something belongs to another yid, so and he's coming and he's telling me that it's his, I should give it back. Am I halachically obligated to give it back? Absolutely not. But should I? I'm sorry. This is not unique to cereal. This would be true again anytime a Jew comes along and gives me the identifying marks of the item. With Nimishura Sadin, Dalokha says if you choose to go above and beyond the letter of the law, you should give back the item. I'm sorry, Lahakzir. Yeah. Because Shmuel was saying, I'm telling you, Rav Yehuda, that there's a chiyuv to go lifnei mishuras hadin. Right? I'm telling you that it's important. It is, it, for you, it's obligatory to go with Meshurah Sadin. Now, Tosis has a whole discussion over here. So what does this mean? Does this mean that there's a chiyumin? What Zalman is raising is a very important point, which is, Lifnei Meshurah Sadin by definition means something above and beyond. Chayiv means something obligatory. So Rabbi Yehuda, so Shmuel saying to Rabbi Yehuda, for you, I would advise you that for you, it's your chayiv to go with Meshurah Sadin. The rest of us, love Dafka, love Dafka. So says the Yomar Kiyada Vod Shmuel Ashka Chani Chamri Bemidbara. So we'll say there's another Maisa like this. Like the father of Shmuel, the father of Shmuel once found donkeys in the desert. Va'ajrinu l'marayu l'basar treise yarchi shasen. We'll say, generally, donkeys in the desert are hefker, right? Or I should say differently. When you lose donkeys in the desert, you're generally misyayish. You're generally misyayish. So what happens? The father of Shmuel once found donkeys and had them in his possession for 12 months, which I will say certainly means that what? The owner was Messiah. Yet the owner one day showed up. And what happened? And he returned the donkeys, lift the Mishra Sadin, I will say going above and beyond the letter of the law. Rava Havashaka Vazir Basid Rav Nachman Bishuka Digaldoi. So Rav was once walking by Rav Nachman in the leather worker shuk, the leather shuk. Va'amrile Bishuka the Rabbanon. And others say no, it was in the rabbi shuk. Amrile Matzakan Arniki Mahu, and he asked him, remember again, this is Rava asking Rav Nachman, tell me, Rabbi, Matzakan Arniki Mahu, if somebody lost, if somebody found a wallet over here, what would be the halacha? Amrale Hare Elu Shalom. The halacha would be is if you find a wallet in a place like this, you absolutely could keep it. But, because it's Rosh Sarabin, and therefore again, the assumption is that the owner is Misyayish. I buy Yisrael benasan basimen mahu. What happens if a Yisrael came along and what? A Yisrael came along and gave a simen, or be the halacha. Amar le hare elu shalo. So Moshe Rav Nachman said, the finder could still keep it. The finder could still keep it. I v'halo omid v'tzavach nas. So about 1 second. So we'll say. So remember, Rav Nachman is saying there is no din of Meshurah Sadin. If somebody loses something in the public thoroughfare. If somebody loses something in a public thoroughfare, the halacha is hefker. Even if the owner comes along and later on and says, hey, that's mine, that's mine. So Rava says, Rebbe, is this true? But the owner is standing there yelling, right? Yelling and screaming, that's mine, that's mine. So Rav Nachman says, that's fine. It's no different than somebody who goes ahead and is yelling, it's mine, as his house burns down or as his boat begins to sink. As well as people naturally call out to their own objects. So the fact that he's saying it's mine, that's fine. It doesn't change the fact that what? He lost in Rosh Sarabim. The assumption is he was Messiah-ish. You, the finder, and permitted to go ahead and keep it. So we'll say, Rav Nachman is just saying over here with the technical letter of the law. And remember, there's no machlokes. There's no machlokes. Rava would agree with the same idea. Yes, that is a technical letter of the law. You can keep it. But Rava's just saying there's a concept of going with the Meshurah Sadin. That if you see that something ultimately is the property of another Jew, he was Messiah-ish. You're technically entitled to it. Even I will say, you know, greatness in life. Rabbi Nachman has a small sefer that's titled Kedai Lihios Vatran Kedai Levater. That's the name of the sefer, right? It's Kedai Lihios Vatran. That's the name of the sefer. It's Kedai to be a Vatran. It's Kedai to be Mevater. Right? So I said the Midah of Vatranos is I'm entitled to something. Something is legally mine. I'm yielding. I'm choosing to yield. The best Midah in life is the Midah of Vatranos. Right? It will say, person will lead a very happy life in Shalom Dik life if you learn to be Mevater. Because 99% of Machlokas is usually about people having a desire to stand their ground. I'm right. I'm not going to yield. Why? You know what? You could be right even if you're Mevater. Right? You can be right. So we'll say, so that's the thing Meshurah Sadin. So Rav is saying, are you within your right to go and keep the object? Absolutely, you're within your right. But you know what? There's another Jew who is the owner of this former owner of the object. He's clearly distressed that he lost his object. Just give it back. So the Gemara goes weiter. Hahudayo. What's it? This is exciting Gemara. Second line from the second wide line. Hahudayo the shakel bisra b'shuka. There was a vulture. What's it? Dayo is a vulture. A vulture that went ahead and took meat from the shuk. The shajay bitsanaisa de Bay Marion. And threw the meat among the palm trees in Bar Marion. And the place says that's a place. The Bay Bar Marion. They came before Abaye, so they asked, what's the status of the meat? So we'll say, not als kashrus, but rather again, but again, als mitziah. Are we permitted to keep the meat? Amarle, zil shekel nafshcha. Yes, you could keep the meat. I v'haru ruba di Yisrael ninu. But one second, the majority of the people in the city were Jews. Shamas mina halach k'rab Shimon al-Lazar afilu ruba di Yisrael. So what do you see from here, Bosa? You see from here that the halach of Hazar Shimon al-Lazar, namely that's what? That when you lose an object in a public place, it is considered to be hefker, right? The owner is misyayish, and this is true even if what? Even if the majority of the residents of the particular place are Jewish, to which the Gemara says, no, it's not a good raya. Shiny dayo dikizuto shal yam dami. We'll say a vulture is different, because when a vulture takes something, it's like the tide of the sea took it. In other words, we'll say everyone is misyayish. When just like something is set out to see, you're misyayish on it. So when a vulture takes something, you're misyayish on it as well. I have a homer at Barbosai. So fine. So al mitzia, I understand. When a vulture, it's good to know when a vulture takes something. When a vulture takes something, Barbosai, the owner despairs of ever getting it back. And therefore, it's automatically yeyush. And therefore, whoever finds it, even in a place where there's Rov Yisrael, is permitted to keep it. But one second. There's another issue. We've taken care of the mitziah issue. What about the kashrus issue? Rabbi said, there's a very important halacha of basar shenis ali mina ayin, which means that kosher meat, once it's obscured from Jewish view, it's a safek about its kashrus. So what about kashrus? So what about the fact that the vulture went ahead, took the meat, right? And then again, the vulture went somewhere else. Now it's depositing this meat amongst the palm trees. But I don't know, that's the kosher meat. Or, Rabbi said, the case over here is where literally, I see the vulture take the meat from the Yiddish butcher, right? I see him literally take it from the butcher, and I see the vulture the whole time, and I see him drop it among the palm trees in by Bear Marion. So I see the whole process. So once, remember again, the incredible novelty over here is what? I know who the owner of the meat is. But what's the halacha? I am still permitted to keep it. Why? Because I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the owner was Misyayish. I know the owner was Misyayish. Because whenever a vulture takes your meat, you are Misyayish on it, like Zuto Shalyam. Now there might be a din of Lichnu Mishuras HaDin, if I know who that meat belongs to. So there certainly might be an idea of going above and beyond the letter of the law and returning that meat. But again, that's Lichnu Mishuras HaDin. I'll just go a little bit weiter, then we'll stop. Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina Matzah Gidi Shachot Bein Tveri Letzipori. Rabbi Chanina found a slaughtered goat, a gdi, a slaughtered goat between Tveri and Tzipori, v'tirulo, and they permitted him to keep it. Amar lo, Amar Rabbi Ami, hetirulo mishum metziah k'Rabbi Shimon al-Lazar, mishum shchit k'Rabbi Chanina b'nosh Rabbi Yosei Aglili. Rabbi said they permitted him to keep it, alts metziah, the k'Rabbi Shimon al-Lazar. Right? Rabbi said, because Rabbi Shimon al-Lazar says that whenever you go ahead and you find something in a public place, l'maisa, again, we assume that the owner was Messiah, and therefore the finder could keep it. But they didn't only permit him to keep it, they also permitted him to eat it. And they permitted the shchita, at Rabbi Chanina, Chananya, what Rabbi Chanina say, this Anya, Harish Avdalo Gediyav, the Tanagolov, will say, if a person loses his goats or his chickens, v'halachu matzan shchutin, and then what happens? He finds them, but he finds that they've been slaughtered. So we'll say, so the shaila over here is what? The shaila is, can I rely on the shechita? I mean, let's say it looks like the animal was properly shechted. So, right? Obviously, if the animal was just knocked over the head, you know, it's not kosher. But let's say it looks like it was properly shechted. Can you eat of the animal? Rabbi Huda, so Rabbi Huda says, no, it's us. Rabbi Huda says, you can't eat of an animal unless you know about those who did the shechita and how they did the shechita. So Rabbi Chanina ben Orosh Rabbi Yossi HaLevi Matir. And Rabbi Chanina says, it's mutter. One second. Amar Rabbi says, near into Rabbi Huda, Kishimatsar Ba'ashpa. So both said, Rabbi goes along and says like this. I think Rabbi Huda is correct when you find the animal in the garbage dump. Because they both say, what would you normally discard in a garbage dump? A nevela. Right? Trefus. Nevelas and trefus. So again, I could assume if you find the carcass in the garbage dump, that's a pretty good indication that what? That the shechita was botched and the animal is not kosher. So however, again, matzon, however, basha, v'dir Rabbi Chanina b'nosh Rabbi Yosei Halevi b'kishe matzon b'bayis. Oh, Rabbi Yosei, if you find a slaughtered animal in someone's house, then what? Then what? That's indicative that the shechita was good. I'm sorry?
It's in their house.
It's in their house.
It's in their house. What's in their house?
It's in their house. They're the owner.
Yeah.
So we found it?
They found it. So again, so what we're assuming over here is like this.
I'll find a chicken in your house.
Right? Yeah. You'll find plenty of chickens in my house. So we'll say, the idea, remember, the idea over here is the following. The idea over here is, I lost my animal, right? So what happens? So now I find it, and it's slaughtered. It's slaughtered. Say if I find it slaughtered in the Ashba, that's a pretty good indication. That's what? That's an Avela. I find it in a Reuven's house. Now, Reuven's not a Ganif, because remember, where did Reuven find the animal? Reuven found the animal, Shasarabi. The idea is over here, if I want to take my animal back, now we'll discuss the ramifications of this. If I want to take it back, so Lemaisa, again, leaving aside the technicalities of taking it back. But if I find it in Reuven's house, the point over here is that I can assume that the Shechita is kosher. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Now, understand me. The fact that I'm allowing the Shechita to take place, the fact that I'm saying that the Shechita was good, we must be talking about what? A place that's Rov Yisrael. Shamis mino halacha k'Rav Shimon Elazar, afilu b'Rov Yisrael. Now, we'll say, now, again, remember, all roads lead back to Rav Shimon Elazar. So it sounds like Rav Shimon Elazar says his shita, that when you lose something in a public thoroughfare, the owner is misyayish, even when it's Rov Yisrael. Because Rav said, that's the only way that you could assume that what? That the shita is going to be good as well. Amarava, no. Rov Kinanim, no. We're talking about a case where it's Rov Kinanim, the majority of people are non-Jews. The Rov Tabche Yisrael. Oh, but the majority of butchers are Jewish. So what I say, in a case like this, the majority of people living in the city are Kinanim, are non-Jews. Therefore, when I lose something in a public thoroughfare, I am misyayish. I give up hope of retrieving the item because the majority of the population are not Jewish. Yet, if you find the animal slaughtered, you could assume that it was a proper shechita. Why? Why? Because the majority of the butchers are Jewish. Rabbi Ami Ashkach Pargiot Shchutos Bein Tiveria Letzipor. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Ami found Pargiot, right, in Alafa. Right, he found the Pargiot. Now Pargiot, we'll say, Rashi says, are gozos, are pigeons. Right? So, you know, now if you get Pargiot, it means chicken. But you go ahead and you got pigeons. They found pigeons slaughtered between Tiveria Letzipor. So the Shaila is, what do you do with them? Also, come Rabbi Asi. So va'amrile be midrasha. So some say they brought the shayat Rabbi Asi. Others say they brought to Rabbi Yochanan. Others just say they brought to the base medrash. Va'amrile. So we'll say, what was the psak halacha? Zil shakol enafshach. You could keep the pargiot, right? You could keep them because we'll say why? Why? Rabbi Yitzchak nafcha ash. So we'll say because again the logic seems to be over there because it was found in a public place. Rabbi Yitzchak nafcha. Ashkech kibura de azli bay. So we'll say what happened. So look at Rashi. Ashkech kiburi de azli bay. Beuzuli. Matza pakios shaltevi. Lemichmoros orishtos bin komoshat sayad mitsuyin. They found it was like coils of string. Right? Rolls of string. Rolls of coil. No. Rolls of string. Used for hunting. Right? Used for string, rolls for hunting. So Ashkech kibura de azli bay azluye. So we'll say these are just all examples of items that were found in Rosh Sarabim. Items that were found in Rosh Sarabim. And ultimately, again, were permitted to be kept because in Rosh Sarabim. So we'll say, I'll just read to you, interestingly enough, the Halacha L'Maisa over here. So the Halacha L'Maisa is the following. The Halacha L'Maisa is, this is in Siman Reish Nun Tes Gimel. Listen to this. Hamotzi mitzia b'makom she'isra mutzuyin sham. Chayev lahachris shalom nisiyai shabaylin. Rabbi say, if you find the place, if you find the mitziah in a place that has a Jewish population, so ultimately again you have to announce the object because the assumption is that the owner was not mitziyish. Va'afilo ha'ir mechza akum mechza Yisrael, or afilo ruba akum v'matzah b'makom sherov ha'ovrim sham Yisrael chayev lahachris. Rabbi say, if you find the place, if you lose an object in a place where the majority or even 50% of the pedestrian traffic is Jewish, so we assume that the owner was not misyayish, and therefore what? The finder has to announce the object. That's the halacha. However,
avalim rov ha'ir akum, or if the ruby yisrael motzav makum sherov ha'ovrim shem akum, eino chayiv afilu im yadashim yisrael nafla, v'yesh ba simin shavadai nisyayishu habaylim. Rabbi say, aloch l'maisa, we paskin, like Rav Shimon al-Azhar, that says what? That if a Jew loses an object in a place, where either the majority of the city are non-Jews, or the place in which it was lost has a majority of non-Jewish pedestrian traffic, the halacha is, you do not have to announce the finding of the object. Why? Because we assume that what? We assume that the owner was misyaish, despairs of ever finding the object again. And we both say, the chiddush, of course, is what? Even if the object has a simen. Even if the object has a simen, there's an assumed yeyosh, and the finder is permitted to keep it. And he goes, he says, ukimo, ukigon, shahayu medarim, sheish, litlos, redav, fine. He goes on. Fine. Jobo says that is the halacha. There's a lot more intricacies which we'll get into, but bottom line, halacha lemaisa, if you lose an object in a place where the majority of the population, either of the city or of the place, are akum, there's an assumed yeyosh on the part of the owner. Therefore, the finder is permitted to keep the object, even if what? Even if the object has a simen. Masha'inkein, if the object was lost in a place that has at least either a half or a majority Jewish pedestrian traffic, the owner is not misyayish, the finder is obligated to be machriz. Blessing to the team here with the Mishnah tomorrow. Shkoyach.